Commuting by public transport is about to get more expensive for some people, unless Congress acts quickly. For the last 4 years, people who drive to work and people who drive to reach mass transit have been getting a federal tax break if they have to pay for parking. Starting on New Year's Day, the folks who use public transit will lose half that tax break, but the folks who drive all the way to work will get a slightly bigger break. NPR's David Wellna explains why.
They're what the IRS calls qualified transportation fringe benefits. Right now, you can get up to $245 a month in wages tax-free if they're used either for mass transit or workplace parking. Come January 1st, that's reduced for public transportation to $130 a month. Drivers, on the other hand, will see theirs rise by $5 to $250.
It doesn't make sense at all, the fact that you get a bigger tax break for driving your car than riding a train.
Dan Smith lobbies Congress on tax issues for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. He says many don't realize that the parity for transit and parking tax breaks vanishes in the new year, but they soon will.
People who take public transit to work, ride the train to work, they will notice when suddenly the tax deduction that they can get for doing that will suddenly fall by half.
And Oregon Democratic Congressman Earl Blumenauer, who rides his bike to work, is sounding the alarm.
We've heard lots of talk about fiscal cliffs, a dairy cliff, but at the end of the year, we are facing a transit commuter cliff.
Blumenauer's rounded up 5 House Republicans and 44 fellow Democrats to co-sponsor legislation keeping the parking subsidy, which by law is automatically renewed, equal to the transit subsidy, which requires congressional approval every year.
You might tilt it the other way and provide greater benefit for people who are having less impact on the planet. But the fact is, this is embedded, ingrained, and accepted. So we want to at least just have transit parity for the full range of commuter options.
Indeed, in Congress, eliminating or even reducing the parking subsidy is a bipartisan non-starter.
My own view is there are some people, many people, who don't have the luxury of being able to take transit.
That's California Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer, chairwoman of the Environment and Public Works Committee. Boxer defends the tax break for people who, instead of taking public transit, drive to work.
I don't agree that you should put one group against the other. I think we should encourage fuel-efficient cars, and if someone really needs their car for work, I don't have a problem with saying, you know what, there's enough expense here. We can make sure that this isn't exorbitant for you.
Well, that's actually very unfortunate.
Elise Lowe is one of Boxer's constituents. She's also executive director of Move San Diego, a group advocating smart growth in that city. For Lowe, it makes sense to subsidize public transit users, not drivers.
This is at the heart of getting people to change their travel behaviors through economic incentives. And typically, people don't actually look at their own personal behavior until there's some sort of economic reason to do so.
Rhode Island Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse agrees. He's skeptical, though, that Congress can act in time to keep the transit break on par with the parking subsidy.
Well, it certainly doesn't make sense is to favor that over using public transportation. But given the general level of blockade of anything and everything by our Republican friends around here, I can't promise that we'll get to that.
Making parity between transit and parking subsidies one more casualty of congressional gridlock. David Wellna, NPR News, the Capitol.